Hi, I'm Henrik Edberg of the Positivity Blog, and this is How to Improve Your Conversational Skills. The value you bring to your relationships, to new and old ones, is extremely important. Go in with a positive vibe and energy, and you will usually get a response that is similar. Go in with a negative, tired, and bored energy, and you get that thrown back at you. You get what you give. And improving your relationships and social skills starts with you making the effort and giving more value. Don't wait for others to do so to you, then you'll be waiting for a long time. You have to change your own ways first, and then they will most often respond in kind. This is the basic foundation of improving your social skills. Just by improving your general vibe and attitude, things will change. So be sure to go over and apply the advice from the chapter or recording on becoming an optimist from Module 3. Now we'll take a look at some specific tips that will help you to improve your conversational skills. The first tip is this: keep things simple. Just like with the other areas of this course, it's important to keep things simple to improve your interactions. If you have your head stuffed full with info that you try to use all at once, you will get confused and think too much. Try instead to just practice on and improving one or two concepts at a time. The second tip is, do one thing at a time and be here right now. Yes, two of the foundational principles of this course can vastly improve your social life. How? Well, when you are doing just one thing at a time, and for example just listening, then you are fully there to 100%. And giving such attention to someone is rare in a world where people have too many things going on at once in their minds and lives. By being present here in the now, you're also being here fully, without much thought in your mind. This is a great social headspace in my experience. It makes you more witty and fun, it makes you creative. It makes you appreciate and get more out of social interactions. When you are in the now with someone, the conversations tend to flow easily and be very good. So this is another very good reason to form a habit of being present more of the time in your regular day. These two tips have made a huge difference for me and my social skills. And in this recording, I will also go into more specific and concrete tips that have helped me to improve my conversational skills. So let's move on to the easy way to make a great first impression. How do you make a great first impression? Well, the simplest way to do this that I have found is to assume rapport. And this one can work quickly, that is, if you can suspend your disbelief for a while and keep your mind open. It won't work if you don't think it will. So, what is assuming rapport? Basically, instead of going into a conversation or meeting nervously and thinking, how will this go? You take a different approach. You assume that you and the other person will establish a good connection, or in other words, rapport. How do you do that? Just before the meeting, you think or pretend that you'll be meeting a good friend. Then you'll naturally slip into a more comfortable, confident, and enjoyable emotional state and frame of mind. In this state of mind, the conversation tends to flow more naturally too, without much thinking, just like with your friends. I've used this small tip many dozens of times by now, and I find it surprisingly useful and easy to implement. It's a sort of variation of acting as you would like to feel. And this tip helps you and the other people to set a good frame for the interaction. A frame is always set at the start of an interaction. It may be a nervous and stiff frame, a formal and let's get to the point now kind of frame, or perhaps a super relaxed frame. The thing is that the frame that is set in the beginning of the conversation is often one that may stay on for a while. First impressions can last for quite some time. Now, meeting your best friend may not always be the best thing to think about before a meeting at school or at work. In that case, you may want to try to imagine a similar meeting that went well and your interactions with the people there. But you may think, what if I come off as a weird person if I do this? Well, that's always a risk in the beginning when you start using this tip. But I believe that most of the time such thoughts are only in your head. No one likes awkward and uncomfortable interactions. So, if you just assume rapport immediately, then most people that may have been nervous or felt awkward will adapt to your more comfortable and relaxed frame. This is also a quick way to reconnect with the mental and emotional state that your friend may be referring to when they give you the classic and cliched advice to just be yourself. By assuming rapport, you will automatically access a mental and emotional state where you give value in forms like bringing a positive, open and confident vibe, smiling a lot, and being relaxed. And your mind will be less likely to go blank because of nervousness. All in all, this will help you to make a great first impression on anyone and let you display your best self rather than a nervous or guarded self, for example. Now, let's move on to the next section. How to start a conversation. So, assuming rapport will help you to get into the right headspace to make a good first impression. You can of course use this tip as much as you like in other future interactions too, not just your first interaction with someone. And often this will help your mind to relax so you can start a conversation in a simple and natural way. If that doesn't work, then here are three more tips for getting a conversation going. 1. Say hi. Yes, it doesn't have to be something witty or awesome to start a conversation. Just say, hi, how are you tonight or today? And that will work well. 2. Observe your surroundings and ask a question. See what's happening around you and the other person right now. Then just ask an open-ended question as a way to break the ice. If there's, for example, an aquarium there, then ask, do you know what these fishes are called? If there is a playlist on Spotify or iTunes with music playing, then ask, what song would you like to hear next? If there is a strange fruit in the fruit bowl, ask, what's this fruit? I've never seen it before. Tip number 3. Observe your surroundings and make a statement. Again, see what's going on around you. If there is an aquarium, you can say, I like these blue ones. They look happy. If there's music running, you can say, I love the beat in this. And perhaps follow up with, do you know who the artist is? And so on. Whatever you say to break the ice, remember that it is just there to get you two into a conversation. So it doesn't have to be the best thing anyone has ever said. Just remember to smile, say hi, or say something, and things will get started. Now, what do you talk about in a conversation? You have broken the ice. What now? Well, you may just get into a conversation about fishes or music in a natural way. If that doesn't happen, or the conversation dries up, or if your mind goes blank, try to do some association based on your surroundings again, or based on previous conversation topics that the two of you have discussed, to find a new topic or conversation path. Or try a few of the following suggestions for good conversation topics. Number 1. Them. For many, the favorite subject to talk about is themselves. Be curious about people and who they are. As Dale Carnegie once said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming really interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Which is just another way of saying that the way to make a friend is to be one. So, figure out what the other person does besides work. What he or she really likes, passions and things that bring out the enthusiasm. Ask and use open-ended questions, so she or he can't just answer with a one-word answer. If you get hums or vague answers out of an open-ended question, Try leading questions and try to actually listen instead of just waiting for your turn to talk. Be sure to mix in statements too. So we are having a conversation where you both give and take. And you don't get stuck in a job interview mode where you pepper the other person with a barrage of questions. They can find that boring and to be something of an energy drain. Because they have to provide most of the energy in the conversation as you stick to a sentence from time to time. You can quickly make a question into a statement by starting a sentence with one of these four starter phrases. I want, I think, I feel, I believe. And so, do you like ice cream? Can become. I think ice cream is the most delicious thing on this planet. And don't be worried about making a statement that the other person may not agree with. That's okay, they won't get mad. Instead, they probably just like that you are being proactive and open and are sharing what you really think instead of putting up a front to avoid confrontation and to get them to like you. And don't worry about getting stuck in listening mode. Most people will be glad to reciprocate and be interested in you if you are interested in them. If not, then make statements relating to what they said and to your life, like, you have been to Brazil? I'd love to go there. I've been to Mexico though, it's probably my favorite country. And so, you can move the focus gently towards yourself again. And share your favorite things and passions too. This allows you to become excited, become positive, and you'll have fun. It allows people to meet the real and best you, because those are the things that make you come alive. If that doesn't work either, and the other person does not reciprocate, then consider talking to someone else. Total self-centeredness is not an appealing quality, and there are plenty more people in the world to talk to. Another good topic is current news and water cooler topics. It's often good to reduce the media input to improve how you are influenced. But it can also be helpful to at least keep an eye on the papers. There's always something interesting there to bring up in conversations. I myself usually check out the homepage of one of the biggest Swedish papers a couple of times a week. Another good topic in conversations are likes and dislikes. It's a classic. People like to discuss their likes and dislikes. Some examples are favorite songs or albums, favorite movies or TV shows, the nastiest piece of candy or food you have ever eaten, the best or worst GTD software, the best ever vs the worst ever vacation. The next topic is relatable emotions and experiences. In a way, this is another way to look at some of the topics I have already mentioned. But I think it's a useful perspective to keep in mind though. What I mean by this is that what you share in a conversation are not just the facts. What you share are experiences and emotions. The underlying excitement and emotions that we all share regardless of what we do. One example might be how you discover that the other person loves traveling. So you ask, what is it about traveling that you like so much? He or she may say, the excitement of discovering something new, something she or he has never seen or experienced before. Maybe you have similar feelings about traveling too, so you may say something like, yeah, I know, it's great when you have that fresh, totally new experience. But you don't have to be an enthusiastic traveler to relate. Perhaps you love books or movies, and then you can relate to how each time you discover a new author or great movie, it's like traveling into a new and exciting world. We never know what you'll find, so you can share similar feelings and experiences even though you may not seem that similar as people. You may seem very different to one another and live different lives, but there are often emotional connections to be made between you. Finally, here are a few conversation topics to not bring up. A few topics can really break a pleasant, exciting or open vibe in a conversation. A few examples are illness. No one wants to hear too much about illness and bad health. It's a downer. Your crappy boss job, etc. It's no fun hearing someone harp on and on about how unfair their boss is or how much their job suck. Complaining becomes draining to listen to rather quickly. Your boring job. If it's a fascinating job, then it might be interesting to talk and hear about it. If you are enthusiastic about your job and really love it, then it can be fascinating to talk and hear about it. If it's just a job you're not too fond of, or a boring one, try to limit the time you talk about it. If you like it but people don't seem to be interested, either drop it or find a way to improve how you talk about your job, by bringing the enthusiasm, making it easier to relate to, etc. No one wants to listen for too long to a topic they have no interest in. Hard to relate to hobbies and similar subjects. Well, actually getting technical and talking too much about the content of the job rather than what excites you about it. Try to avoid technical jargon, acronyms, and details that only you and a few other enthusiasts understand. Try to keep it simple and understandable instead. Try to talk about your hobby with relatable emotions and experience as described previously. Try to relate what excites you about your bicycling or recycling instead of getting lost in facts and details. Politics, religion, and how much someone makes. These may not be topics to avoid, but may sometimes be wise to be a bit careful about, especially before you get to know someone better. People can be touchy about these things, and topics like these can lead to unnecessary conflicts and awkwardness. Finally, serial killers and other creepy subjects. An obvious one. Just like talking about illness, talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, stalkers, and similar subjects can make people really uncomfortable. Also, in more general terms, avoid being negative and whiny. Now it's normal to have a bad day or just to be in a bad or whiny mood from time to time. But if you do it a lot, or pretty much all the time, if you spend most of your time in that headspace, then simply put, people will probably not just be bored. They will start to avoid hanging out with you or talking to you. We all have a lot going on today. And as I grow older, it seems to me that people don't have time or patience to listen to that negative stuff. They have more exciting things to do and more positive people that they will choose to hang out with and talk to instead. As I mentioned in the beginning of this module, I think that one of the big things people want in any relationship are positive emotions. On a fundamental level, people simply want to create a flow back and forth with people where all of you exchange positive emotions and feel good. And now, let's move on to the last section of this recording, how to give a genuine compliment. One good way to spread the positive emotions and show people that you are interested in them and appreciate them is to give them compliments. I have found that there are some things you can do to make your compliments extra special and to sharpen that little social skill. First, make sure that the compliment is genuine. Otherwise, you're just trying to take something from the one you are complimenting, and that will not work so well. Your insincerity and that you just want something from the other person will often shine through. A compliment delivered with positive words, but with their body language and voice tonality, two of the most important parts of interpersonal communication, that aren't saying the same thing may often not go over so well. And the rule that you get what you give still applies. What you feel when you deliver the compliment will come through, so make sure it's a genuine feeling behind the words. The next tip is to cultivate a habit of appreciation. This will let you discover all the genuinely nice things about people. With this filter closed, it will be harder to see the positive things in people and to give compliments that are actually totally genuine. Try to appreciate the things around you, your home, friends, family, co-workers, computer, weather, etc. A few minutes a day to build this habit. Compliment on something that the other person feels is important to him or her. This is my last tip. It may be, at least in some cases, a good practice to not compliment on something that the other person doesn't have much control over, or something that he or she has been complimented on 1,000 times before. Looks and other more superficial stuffs, like possessions, are example of such things. A compliment that is kinda expected will not be that powerful, and even though your compliment is genuine, it may be lumped together with all those other similar and not so genuine compliments that the person has received. So instead, observe what makes this person tick. What is his or her passions, qualities, interests, and proudest achievements? What is a positive behavior that this person has, like a great curiousness about music or an open attitude towards life? What can you genuinely appreciate about those things? Use these tips and try, for example, to give 3 genuine compliments each day.